Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong, profitable impact on your business.
Good morning and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I am truly honored to share the microphone with really interesting people. They are entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, coaches. These are people who are very excited about life and their business in general, and they have wonderful stories to share, and they are here to freely share their business wisdom, tips, and actionable advice. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. And today I'm really excited. I get to welcome certified high-performance coach Lee Griffith to the podcast. Now, as a certified high-performance coach with Brendon Burchard, Lee has coached entrepreneurs, executives, MDs, attorneys, real estate experts, and others, helping them level up, thrive, and push their performance envelope. As a corporate behavior coach working with Fortune 50 organizations, he has helped leaders and individuals find their power, their turbo, in fact, and most importantly, how to apply what they have learned in order to produce exceptional results. And in a conversation that Lee and I had before this podcast, he was sharing with me that he has found that there is one common question that all entrepreneurs and marketers ask themselves about their momentum. He frequently hears this: I'm lost and I can't find it. I've got it, but I can't sustain it. Or I'm at a 5, but I want to be in a 10. And at some point, that struggle is going to appear for nearly everyone for a myriad of reasons. So what he is telling me is that at some point, even the best performers are saying, now what? So on this podcast, Lee is going to share his insights about that very issue, and he is very highly qualified to do so, as he has had the honor of working with and for New York Times bestselling authors Brendon Burchard, Dean, I can't pronounce his name, Graziosi, I think. I'll get Lee to correct me, and Ethan Willis. I am so excited to have you. And by the way, if you're in the chat room, ask questions. I will ask them if we can. Lee, I am really excited to have you here today.
Thanks so much, Denise. I've been looking forward to this conversation for a period of time, and of course, we were scheduled for an earlier podcast,
right?
And pneumonia had taken me out of the out of that. So I'm excited to finally be here and alive and well, and having the opportunity to have a great conversation about momentum. And as you had mentioned, it's something that. It's almost an elephant, I think, in the room oftentimes, and that is we will compare others, other highlight reels for other folks to our own challenges. We think that other people have it when we feel like we've lost it. And the fact of the matter is, just as human beings, we all get to that point where we feel like we were moving along, we were being productive, we were getting things done, we were handling business, and we reach a stall at some point. So it happens to the best of the best. And some really great news is that we're not splitting atoms. There are some fairly simple and straightforward techniques that we can utilize to get us moving once again and also then keep us in that envelope.
I can't wait to hear those. You're feeling better, though, right? Because this was last week you were supposed to be here.
That, you know, that's the miracle of modern pharmaceuticals, I'll admit, and is what's helped me get to this point. And if I can make it through today's show without coughing,
right,
we'll be doing great. So I may be searching for the mute button here at some point, but I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're kind of sharing the mute button because I'm raspy today as I'll get out. I don't know if it's the weather or what's going on, but I find myself coughing and snorkeling, just making weird noises for no reason at all, as far as I can tell. So, So if you, for our audience, I think so. For your audience, if you hear just moments of silence, that's us regrouping either individually or collectively. So anyway, I wanted to wish everybody happy April Fool's Day. We were talking in the green room before we went live, and you know, I have a bit of snark in me on the best of days, but today is my day, so I'm going to celebrate it. So just so y'all know. Okay, so Lee, but I won't take it out on you, Lee, I promise.
So, I appreciate that. I just wanted to be wondering if I were going to be the victim of that, so I appreciate
No. When we get to know each other better, though, you will go on the list.
That's great.
Listen, before we get started, you did something that I find just truly fascinating. In 2015, you founded the nonprofit Souls of Soldiers, and I would love for you to share that with our audience very quickly.
Sure. I'm a veteran myself and was having a meaningful conversation with a friend one afternoon over a beer, an early exit from work on a Friday afternoon. And this friend of mine is quite accomplished in his career. And we had this pause, and he had said, what do you want to do? And what do you mean, have another beer? But what do you mean, what do I want to do? He said, no, what do you want to do with your life? And it was one of those very poignant moments that I call this experience a variety of times. And I didn't really have a good answer for him in reference to, you know, that's a big question. What do you mean? What do I want to do with my life? He and I have these philosophical conversations on a regular basis. At any rate, because I was unable to answer in a timely fashion, I turned the question back to him and said, what do you want to do? And he said, I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference in other people's lives. So that really was the catalyst for the launch of Souls of Soldiers, in recognizing as a veteran that there is this need for care for our active duty military personnel, for our veterans that have been experiencing post-traumatic stress due to combat-related events or other events, and a gap in treatment. The Veterans Administration they're doing their best to handle that load. It's not easy, especially with a group of folks that, due to their training, are not necessarily willing to come forward readily and admit or share that they're having some challenges. So that was the catalyst for Souls of Soldiers. And now we are about mid-launch. We are 501c3 pending. The concept of Souls of Soldiers will be on-demand counseling and coaching, depending on where an individual is in their spectrum of need. So whether they happen to be in Kandahar or in San Antonio, Texas, they will have the ability to access a counselor or a coach via text, video platform, written journal, or voice-to-voice, pretty much on-demand 24/7, 365. So we're moving towards that. It certainly has taken on a life of its own that's bigger than I am, and I'm just now happy to participate as some sort of catalyst within that. So it's been very exciting.
I want you to know that I truly am appalled by what is going on with our veterans in this country. I have been for a very long time, and I completely support what you're doing. And if you need any assistance with this or you need a volunteer, please call me. I will do whatever I can to help you launch.
Okay, so appreciated. And fortunately, we've had, and I'm going to take you up on that. Fortunately,
I hope you do.
We've had such tremendous support, which is needed, in that we've had such tremendous support, individuals raising their hands, offering help in areas where we desperately need it. We now have two co-founders that have come aboard with their own expertise and strengths, which are outside of my own. And it's been absolutely critical. You can reach us at soulsofsoldiers.org as well. There's an email address. We have a landing page up, our permanent site, thanks to happyjoe.org, a group of veterans that does technology build-outs. The live site, the full site, should be up here within the next 2 weeks. So we're moving right along.
Right.
But I'm absolutely going to take you up on that, Denise. Your expertise and help would be immensely appreciated.
Well, I am here anytime you need me.
That's great.
And there went my voice. Okay, so I looked at the site yesterday, and I saw that it was still a landing page. So do me a favor and email me when it's ready, because I'm dying to see it.
That's great. Absolutely. We're so close. It's been a real journey, the better part of a year, getting to this point of the site. Just about to go live. We've shot a couple of videos of the founders in conversation with some veterans and that kind of thing. So we're very close. We're very, very close to it finally kicking off. So we're excited, and we'll be sharing that with you once we go live here soon.
Excellent. Well, listen, let's talk about momentum. Because, look, what you were describing earlier, Lee, I think we're our own worst enemies. I mean, I don't know about you. I'll be clocking along. I will be just as efficient as I can be in my daily life. My office is in my home, which means that I can be building a website and doing a load of laundry pretty much at the same time.
Right.
I'm a multitasker.
Sure.
I kind of like it that way. And then, and this never fails, and it never fails to startle the bejeebers out of me, which, you know, apparently I've got a psychology issue going on there, but it never fails that I'm just clocking along, and then I just go boom, and that's it. I'm down, and I just can't function for about, it may be a couple of hours, it may be an entire weekend. And
sure.
The truth is, I beat myself up for that, even though I know it's part of my natural rhythm. What is that all about?
Interesting thing. You call that out, Denise. It's really an interesting thing. We, I think, in today's society with social media, especially social media, these computers that we carry around with us, cell phones, with the ability to interact with anybody at any time in a variety of ways, life has become very, I think, very transactional. And that, what I mean by that is we're moving along at a high rate of speed. We've got a lot of things going on. We're being bombarded by information. We're also being bombarded by other people's agendas. And not that there's ill intent there, but there's just a lot going on. And through that, I think one of the challenges that brings about that impacts exactly what you're speaking it to is, in the way of momentum, it impacts us in that it takes us out of our own head, which is where we really need to be. And a bit more specifically, related to our own self-care, and I'll get a bit mushy here maybe, but our ability to self-love and self-affirm, I think is challenged more today than ever before, whether that's, again, due to technology or the demands of society, all of those things combined, we just don't do a great job of self-love and self-affirmation. And what's really interesting about that and why it's relevant to momentum is that that's where our strength, our power, our confidence resides. So we have to be intentional about building that into a daily routine, taking a little bit of time, and acknowledging ourselves, what we're experiencing, what we're dealing with, and what we need to do to push through that. So it really starts at our core. And I think there's some great news relative to that. It's a little bit like taking a daily vitamin, in that there's such great benefit in doing this, and there's such great payoff, and it's very easy to do. And I'll share some exercises here in a bit in reference to that and how we can do some of those things. But it really starts with this self-love or affirmation or acknowledging ourselves and what we're experiencing in life, and then through that also what we need to accomplish and get done.
I would love to hear some tips and tricks, truly, because I do my level best to set aside time for self-care, but honestly, there are days when I'll do it later, I'll do it later. And, of course, later never comes. And then I kick myself in the fanny, and it's not fun. I mean, I don't want me wagging my own finger in my own face. It's not fun. It's just
right.
not.
Right.
So, but one of the things I wanted. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Go right ahead. Continue on.
Well, I was going to ask you, do you, in your coaching sessions, when you're working with entrepreneurs, do you see a difference in the level of self-care that entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, business people are willing to give themselves between the genders? Because I find that women are tougher on themselves than men are. Men are more likely to take care of themselves, I think. That's just my observation. So I'd love to hear what you've got to say.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And it's, there is, without being stereotypical, there's certainly, I think there's a level of intensity that women bring versus men. There's also a level of accountability, not that there aren't men holding themselves accountable, but there's a level of accountability, and I think coupled with that, shame or guilt for women more so, at least that's been my experience in coaching entrepreneurs or high performers, there is a level of that that goes along. And it's, again, why it's so critically important that we take just a little bit of time out and acknowledge where we're at and that it's okay, really in a very, for lack of better description, maybe a very parental way, where it's non-judging, it's unconditional. It doesn't mean we have to let ourselves off the hook for particular things, but in an unconditional way, figuratively wrapping our arms around ourselves. But it's certainly, from a gender perspective, women are a bit more intense about that. And certainly, again, having, I think for entrepreneurs, more so than most others, is this expectation of performance, this expectation of pushing through, this expectation of I'm going to get it done, because that's just what we do. And, of course, we know as entrepreneurs, it's very choppy water. It's tough. It's very tough.
Yep.
So the rate of failure or the rate of stall or the death of 1,000 cuts, it's going to come. So the struggle is going to come. It's not if, it's when. It's going to come. And then what are we going to do about that? That's the next question.
So when your clients reach a point, whether it's momentary, or they're just walking around going, oh, in my case, I always go, bad Denise, and then I start laughing.
Right.
It is kind of funny.
Right.
But, what happens when they hit a stall that just doesn't seem to be resolvable? How do you help them?
I think it's really taking stock. So I'm going to go back to that self-care, self-love, that acknowledgement of where we're at and what we're experiencing. The other thing that's can be incredibly powerful is an exercise where we can coach ourselves. So to your question, Denise, a really terrific exercise for that time when it comes, and this can be done anytime, it can be done daily, it can be built into a routine, and that is taking a moment, quiet space, and recalling a time when you felt powerful, the time when you seemingly had all of the answers, a time when you felt confident, when you were getting things done, a time when you were productive, so your best possible self, and then posing the question to yourself, what would I do in this current situation? What would the best version of me coach me to do? What would the best, most powerful version of me suggest that I do in this particular situation? And that oftentimes, the answers reside within us, but we lose our way. We get off in the weeds oftentimes. So taking just a little bit of time and asking ourselves those questions, what will we do in this particular situation? What will we coach ourselves to? Can be a very powerful exercise that will bring those answers to the front of mind.
I'm almost speechless, and I have to tell you, that doesn't often happen, so kudos to you. But honestly, and that's not April Fool's, I actually mean that.
That's great.
But here's the thing, I mean, there are moments when, when I'm talking with someone else and they'll go, oh my God, and I can hear, I can almost feel the breakthrough, but I don't do it with myself. And I just realized that when you said that.
Yeah.
It's like, huh, how did I not know that?
It's fascinating, and just what you're sharing, Denise, that's so common. We're really good for other people, but we're not so good for ourselves, especially when our back's against the wall or we're really feeling challenged, coupled with that expectation from an entrepreneurial perspective of, I'll figure it out, I'll get it done, I will push through, never say die, never say fail. In other words, I don't have an opportunity to acknowledge a weakness within myself. I just got to get it done.
Or even and go look at the strengths in yourself. And I think, and I can't wait to hear your response on this one, I think other people see our strengths far better than we do. And we just kind of skate over them because it's just who we are.
Absolutely.
What is easy for us may just be horrible for other people. But because we know it, we live it, we breathe it, we're like, that's no big deal. But it is a big deal, isn't it?
It is a big deal. It really is a big deal. And it can be good to ask those that are close to us, trusted confidants or family members or what have you, what are my strengths? What are my strengths? What do you view as my strengths? That can be a really terrific thing to do, and not just for the ego stroke, but from that place of what are some things that you see in me is positive attributes, and then writing those down. And that can be very helpful to do that, to reflect back on at other times when you're feeling that stall or that lack of momentum or the lack of motivation. Those can be really terrific things to begin to create some framework. And it's that framework that we need to continue to move us along. Once we've gotten to that stall, the need to consistently have forward progression or that momentum, it goes back to some framework. We'll talk a bit more about that. It's so critical to that. So, yes, having other people share with us what they see as our most positive attributes related to what it is that we want to accomplish or do, and writing those things down and then reflecting back on them on a regular basis or a consistent basis can be really powerful.
I agree. I often ask, virtual assistants who may ask me for mentoring or coaching, and one of the first questions I ask them are, what are your soft skills? What I didn't realize that I was asking them to do what you just described is find out what they think they know about themselves. And honestly, they're almost always surprised when I say, that's a soft skill, right? And they're like, really? They don't even know.
It's amazing
what we don't know about ourselves.
No, it is very interesting. We have these blind spots. We all have these blind spots. And the other critical part of that is, and I would challenge you to do this with the virtual assistants, and that is, it's a great exercise to do initially, but have them revisit this. That's the other part of being an entrepreneur that I think is so interesting, not that it's limited to just being an entrepreneur. Certainly executives or others experience the same type of thing. I'll say high performance. And that is that we'll discover an exercise or something, a shot in the arm, and we will take that knowledge in that moment, feel great about it, and then move along. And the interesting thing about knowledge, and we all know this, but I'll call it out, and that is knowledge isn't power. The application of knowledge is power. We have to make a plan to apply this in a meaningful way on a regular basis in our lives to keep things moving along. We have to have that framework. We have to have a routine that's created. That's where, when we think about moving from a level 5 to a level 10, if you will, or somebody being their best possible selves or performing it at the highest possible level, it's requiring a routine. It's requiring framework to keep us there. It's not just going to happen because we're just motivated, we're just sharp enough, we're just good enough. It's a lie.
Well, I found that out the hard way.
We have to have Right? And that's the way that usually goes. So we have to have some kind of framework, some kind of game plan to rely upon to continue to carry us through. So things like writing those good bits of information down and then tying that into a routine where we regularly go back to those things and review them as a reminder, because oftentimes when we do, we say, oh, yeah, well, you know, that one particular skill, I am pretty good at that. And I completely forgot about it.
Right.
All
just the time.
It's human nature, right?
Right.
It's a regular thing. So rather than, I guess, something that's so important about this is, especially as it relates to momentum, is be proactive. Don't be reactive. The time for the map isn't once you're in the woods. The time for the map is before you get to the woods. That's all of Brennan Burchard. I've learned that from Brennan.
Yeah.
But that's the time. It's before you get there. Don't be reactive. Be proactive about that. And certainly as an entrepreneur that's going to perform at a high level, that's the kind of important work, the kind of foundational work that's going to keep you moving in a very meaningful way.
It's funny that you should mention him, because one of my routines in the morning, I move my gym to my home. I'm an introvert. I don't really like to be in crowds, and I really don't like to be in gyms where a bunch of guys are standing around posing, posturing, and yelling at one
another.
Sure,
right.
I took half of my garage and I turned it into a very nice gym, and I've got a little TV out there that I can play YouTube on. And one of my daily habits when I'm on the treadmill in particular is to watch YouTube Brennan Burchard. And another one, there's a couple EFT practitioners, emotional freedom techniques, that I'll watch. And I'll tell you, by the time I'm out of the gym, my head is stuffed full of all kinds of neat ideas and motivation, and off I go.
Right. That's it, which is fantastic. And it's interesting you mention that, Denise, because that's the kind of really great and important framework, this constant feed that we all need. And that's something that I found really interesting as I became more involved with behavior coaching, certainly with behavior coaching, and then eventually coaching with Brendan and others. But one of the takeaways or what I had learned and found absolutely fascinating were individuals that were performing at very high levels, exceptionally high levels, the best of the best in the world, all over the world. One of the very consistent and common threads has been they have outside stimulation. They have framework that's tied to something beyond themselves in a regular and consistent way. So just as you're describing, being on the treadmill and watching those videos of Brendan and the EFT videos, it's that kind of framework or constant feed that becomes absolutely critical in performing at a high level on a regular basis. So it's great to hear you share.
I agree. And one of the things that I do as well, because I can compartmentalize, I've always been able to, and I'll be here at my desk. I've got three monitors. I may be building a website on one. I may be doing social media marketing for clients on another. The third one is largely just for research and Googling. But I may have Tony Robbins on Audible. I may have, you know, Brennan Burchard. I may be listening to him. I may be listening to Louise Hay. I may be listening to – I'm always listening to something unless
that's
I
great.
Need absolute quiet. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I really need to focus.
Sure.
It may be Baroque music, but I've always got something that's coming in my left ear while my brain is working on something else. And it seems to work for me. I know a lot of people can't do that. They would find it too distracting, but it works for me, so I do it.
That's great. That's great. You hit on something else that's really important here, Denise, and that is finding what works for you and then doing it. And it can be very challenging to be honest with ourselves. And certainly, I think, as entrepreneurs go, where we're blazing new trails. And oftentimes that is, you know, a man or a woman on an island or at sea alone without traditional corporate structure or points of reference. So I think it can be increasingly challenging. And I think even more so why it's so important to have some regular framework or constant feed outside of oneself relative
Absolutely.
To performing at a high level.
You know, when really I first important. Started out, you know, I got my computer science degree in 2000, so I started building my business right about that same time. I was alone. I mean, I was literally
right.
on that island you're talking about, because back then the internet was nothing like it is now. We barely had GUI, graphical user interface. We certainly
right.
didn't have social media marketing. You know, I'm out there trudging door-to-door cold calling to build websites, and with my personality, not fun, truly. I'm an introvert.
Right.
But I did what I had to do. There was nobody for me to market myself after or teach me how to market. There was nobody for
right.
me to model myself after. Fortunately, I have a good store of common sense, and I was able to build up a business plan that sustained itself. But,
right.
I mean, there might have been a chat room. I've never been in one before in my life. But until just a few years ago, when I could start following people like Joel Kahn and Brendan Bouchard and, start reading newsletters and start seeing, videos and even explainer videos from Constant Contact, I was living pretty isolated, I have to say. And it's not fun. It's not.
And
it's you have
fun.
To have a cast iron stomach to do that.
Right. Well, and it's important because it's what you mentioned that, Denise, because that is one of the common complaints or comments from entrepreneurs.
Isolation.
And it's isolation. And it's one of those things I find in coaching that sometimes individuals are sheepish about coming out with. But it's very real in us as human beings.
Oh, yeah.
I love the fact, even as you had shared earlier, that you're an introvert. However, the need for that stimulation for you is really important. I think that's the case for us as human beings, and again, certainly as entrepreneurs. That really is important, identifying some outlets related to the stimulation, and building that in, again, so that it's proactive, not reactive. And I really want to emphasize that to perform at a high level, to perform at a consistent high level, whether that's interacting with our family or going out and doing bold and meaningful work, being proactive becomes so incredibly important. I think that's really where success, consistent success, lies. And at least there's a certain dose of sanity that resides there, if nothing else. So being proactive about that is really meaningful. And by that, something that's so important also is building that into a daily routine. That becomes really important, And now with social media and the likes of YouTube, having the opportunity, kind of as you were saying, you go back to the internet a decade ago, these things didn't exist. Now we have access to such a really terrific this wealth of resources in finding people that resonate with us, finding messages that are meaningful, or groups, meetups that might be local or what have you, that share your same vision or ideas or concepts. It's just such a wonderful thing to become involved with those things related to performing at a high level.
It really is. Now, let me ask you, because you've worked with high-level coaches, you are a high-level coach, what is the worst thing that people can do to themselves when they're first coming to you? I would imagine, and I'm just guessing, that they're coming to you going, please fix me, but that's not really what they need, is it?
No. You know, typically what the two big areas of the jump out on a consistent level, one is that self-love and affirmation, acknowledging ourselves and our own value and worth. Even people that are performing at a high level, when we say, let's hit the pause button and let's peel back a couple of layers, and when was the last time you acknowledged your accomplishments? And it's interesting because during coaching sessions, this is oftentimes when the steeliest of nerves, the individuals that are performed at high level, mm-hmm. making seven or eight figure incomes and just kicking butt in life, will become quite emotional.
I can imagine. I mean, I'm actually trying to walk through the process as you're talking, and I suspect that I would be sitting in a corner rocking back and forth and keening by the end of it, because we have such high expectations of ourselves.
We do. We do. And I mention this because when we're able to tap into that place, Denise, when we're able to get to that place, that's when we're really able to level up. That's when we're really able to perform and take that ceiling off, that ceiling that we've hit or bounced off of a number of times. You want to take that off. You want to blow that off and really perform at a high level. Get connected with yourself. Get connected with yourself and acknowledge your strengths and the good work that you've done. And we know these things front of mind. So we know that. We know what we've accomplished. We've got plenty of ego going on oftentimes. But I mean really at a core level, in a parental, unconditional, loving way, just acknowledging. That's where we really start to find some terrific and meaningful movement. So that being one of those, back to your original question. The other one being, and I've referenced this now a couple of times, just having that framework or consistent feed of positive reinforcement and information coming in a consistent way. So this daily routine becomes critically important. I will briefly also mention that one of the quagmires that often is brought to the table, especially as it relates to entrepreneurs or performing at, or in other individuals performing at high level, is that this tendency to bite off more than we can chew. And,
gee, who would have thunk that?
Right, who would have thought? So that oftentimes when we think about effectiveness, and which ties back to continued momentum, when we're most productive and most effective is when we're aware of, when we're real about what our priorities should be. So tying back to a daily routine, some simple practices like, and of course it varies depending on what the profession is, something like email. Typically I will suggest to individuals, anything before 10 a.m., don't touch them. Don't do it. And I mention this because oftentimes emails has us working on other people's agendas.
Exactly.
What other people need from us, right? So we become a slave to that. And before we know it, it's 8 a.m. and I jump in my emails. And before I know it, now it's 11 a.m. And here's the challenge, and that is when I think about, let's say, the five things that I have to get done today, I'm going to tie this back to a daily routine of and a recommendation that I wanted to get to at some point here in our conversation, is putting together this to-do or to-be list. What are the few things, and that could be three, four, or five things that I must get done today? So if I start off with this daily list, and you can do it the night before, or you can do it the morning of. Individuals have different preferences. What are the handful of things, the few things that I must get done today? And not adding too much to that list, what are the mission-critical things when I think about my long-term objectives, whether that's joy, love, fulfillment, happiness, whatever that happens to be, what are the handful of things that I must get done today that are consistent with that long-term goal? And really revolving the day, centering our day around those things, what's so important about that when it comes to things like emails is that oftentimes that doesn't fit into that priority, at least not out of the box. And again, yeah, that's where you find yourself halfway through the day working on other people's agendas because they need something from you and you're reactive and one thing leads to another and half a day is gone. And that's when we find ourselves, at least in part, due to emails or things like this, where we say, wow, I was so busy today, and I really don't think I got a darn thing done.
Busy
or
is not necessarily productive.
That's exactly right. Or the week goes by, or the month goes by, or we say, wow, I can't believe 2016 is gone, and my intent at the beginning of the year, at the outside of the year, was to achieve or accomplish these things. Wow. And I didn't get that done. And this is like the third year in a row now. Well, it ties
that
back
sucks.
To what's happening, and it
that.
Sucks.
Yeah, well, it does.
Know, Denise, and it sucks. And so many of us have been there and experienced that. So it ties back to this daily routine. What's happened today? It's noon. What's happened? Have I gotten things done that I needed to get done? Because it's this death of a thousand cuts where we say, wow, now the week is gone, the month is gone, and the year is gone, and I didn't get the things done that I needed to get done. Well, it ties back to what's happening each and every day. So emails, don't do it. Wait until mid-morning or what have you, if possible. Again, depending on what an individual's profession is, it may not be possible. Same thing with calls. If you don't recognize the number, don't take the call. And if you're a real estate agent or something along those lines, or your profession demands that you take, if anybody happens to be ringing in, fair enough. So tying back to that daily to-do or to-be list, what are the few most important things that you have to get done today that are mission critical? I would also suggest that an individual build in one or two things, possible, low-hanging fruit. And by that I mean, tying back to the concept of momentum, tie in some low-hanging fruit, some things that are easily accomplished. Because from and I mentioned this from a psychological perspective, whenever those days that we're just not motivated to do a darn thing, and it happens to all of us, we are just not engaged, motivated, excited, you know, doing good to take air in and push it out, those days happen. And it can be really terrific then to have just a couple of small items on your list that you can knock off. And it's more psychological than anything, where you continue to feel like you've at least gotten that done. So it's a game we're playing with ourselves. You've gotten those things done, you've checked them off the list, and feel good about getting that done and moving forward. And not to just BS ourselves. I don't mean it from that place either. We've got to be real. But it can be really good just in the way of continued motivation and momentum to have a couple of items that are easily achieved.
And once you do that, you know, you may do that and go, oh, right, I'm done for the day. I've done this. I know what you're talking about.
Right.
So I just
right.
don't want to, you know, really work on that complicated website today. Because
right.
one thing about it, when you're working with technology, you've got to be all in. That's all there is to it.
Indeed.
You can't just
right.
kind of approach it in a half, you know, fashion
right.
manner. So I will do that. I will knock off the low-hanging fruit and go, oh, right, now I can go outside and play in the
right.
garden. But I've
there
already kind of motivated myself, and I'm in the garden, but now I want to go back in.
Right.
And I want to knock
right.
out something that's a little bit tougher. So the psychology is definitely there. I totally get it.
It's important. Absolutely important. Absolutely important. And it's interesting, because we're, you know, so many of the things that we've talked about so far, Denise, they're small things. And I think that's the other thing that's revealed to me a long time ago in coaching high performers, is that oftentimes our ego and pride, they keep us from doing the basic or foundational work that we need to do on a consistent basis. Because we just think, well, I'm good enough, or I should be good enough, or I should be smart. I don't need
yeah.
a list.
I should power through
I don't need
this.
A to-do list.
Right.
I
ought
to power
right.
through it. Why? Because I'm that good. And again, what consistently shows itself in individuals that are performing at a very high level, they have a to-do list.
Oh,
and
yeah.
they're glued to
okay.
it. And they
my
have outside stimulation.
Gorgeous. It is gorgeous. You know, it's color-coded. It's got check marks.
I love it.
It's so pretty.
It's fantastic. That is fantastic. So part of that is then ditching the ego also, or our pride, in thinking that I'm just going to power through. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to get it done. And certainly people do that and can perform at a fairly high level. Fair enough. But if you really want to get to self-mastery, you've got to change that. You've got to change that.
Now, this is where I would love to ask you for examples. Of course, you're not going to share names or even industries, but can you give us some examples of how people, when they come to you and they've just hit that wall and they want and need to become a high performer, how do you work with them? Can you give us an example or two?
Sure. You know, oftentimes, it's starting from this place of, what do you want to do and who do you want to be? And if we begin to push against those questions with, like, kind of the classic five-year-old, if you will, why? Why is that important to you? And why is that meaningful? And this is a really terrific exercise because oftentimes what we find is that what we think motivates us doesn't. Or what we thought we really placed value in, maybe it's important or valuable, but not nearly at the level that we thought or expected. And this becomes really important in harvesting out and finding out and discovering what makes our heart really pitter-patter, what's really important to us, so that we can become congruent in our daily action as it feeds what we want to accomplish, do, or be in life. So starting from that place becomes really important. And I'll tell you, of high-performing clients, oftentimes when we find, and he said, when I encounter them, they're saying, I'm at a dead end, or I'm just at this place where I don't know what to do. Oftentimes, and it may be a successful surgeon or a successful entrepreneur, or they may have spent a life performing at an exceedingly high level, at least as the outside world were to gauge or measure that. And what they've done through their life is answer to other people's agendas, whether it's society or their own family's expectations, or they were doing what they thought they should be doing because, you know, their family was full of surgeons, and they were just, that's the thing to do. So oftentimes that's what I find in encountering individuals that have performed at a high level, come to me and said, I'm gassed. I don't know what to do now. And it's because they've been following someone else's agenda for a good portion of their life. And now they're at a crossroads, and they're saying, no, I want to do things on my terms, but I don't know what that is. And that's okay, too. That's okay. That's the other thing that I think is really interesting about personal development and high performance is that there's this constant conversation about passion. You got to find your passion. You know, sometimes people just don't have a passion, or they don't know what it is. But there's this it's kind of the elephant in the room again, where there's this expectation in life, well, you know, if you do what you're passionate about, you'll never have to work a day in your life. Well, the fact of the matter is, there are a lot of people that don't know what the hell that is. They don't know what their passion is, and they don't know how to find it. And that's okay. It's okay. So that's important to just acknowledge that. It's okay. Some people don't know what their passion is. But you can start with some minor points of curiosity. And in fact, Elizabeth Gilbert, the author of Eat, Pray, Love, really did a really terrific video recently regarding this very thing that I'd recommend the listeners, if you have an opportunity to Google that and find that video, it's fantastic. It's oftentimes that's what individuals come with, is I'm at this crossroads, I'm out of gas. So it's helping them get congruent about what's really important to them, what's really important, what's really meaningful. When you think about a life of fulfillment, what does that look and feel like? And that's a discovery process. That's just simply a discovery process that we take people through. So I'm not sure if that, I rambled on there just a little bit. I'm not sure if that really answered your question.
Yeah, it did, because it is, we all need to make money. I mean, that's one of the biggest questions, like, how can I make more money? How can I be more successful? How can I do this? How can I do that? I think, and again, this is just an observation, that a lot of people are so focused on making the money, making the next widget, making the 100 million threaders or what, you know, needle boppers or whatever you want to call them.
Sure.
It's like, okay, if I can sell 100 of these, I can make this much money. And I think that's where they're just completely in it, maybe deliberately at some point, taking their passion and just stomping all over it. So you have to have that passion.
Right.
You have to have that enthusiasm and interest to make those 100,000 widgets or baubles or whatever the heck they are. If you don't have that, you're just kind of going through the motion, aren't you?
It's true. And you know something, an added point to that, you're exactly right, Denise. An added point to that also is that even when individuals know their passion and they're driving towards it with terrific intent and dedication, there frequently comes a time when you do wake up that day and you're not motivated, you're not engaged. And that can be shocking for some because they feel as though, the feeling can be as though you have lost it. Now what? And if this goes on for a day, a week, or a month, it can really be scary because I've been chasing my passion and I've had a couple of setbacks now, and now I'm questioning myself, so I'm delaying. And with delay comes doubt. So that can start throwing question marks up all over the place. So, again, tying back to this daily list, a daily routine that becomes so critically important, it's continuing to power through and just knocking a couple of things off your list when you're not motivated, when you're not engaged. And that's the interesting thing, again, that just back to this, the humanness, and that is that everyone faces that struggle. Everyone faces that struggle where there are days we're not motivated, we're not engaged. So there's a great exercise I'd love to share with listeners related to that daily struggle, or that struggle when it appears, and what we can do about it. And it's an exercise that has some really terrific long-term effect. May I share what this is?
Oh, gosh, yes. If you don't, I'm hanging up on you.
No, that's great. Don't do it. No April Fool's jokes. So oftentimes, many people experience or have participated in visualization. And oftentimes, personal development experts will instruct individuals related to visualization. It comes about in the way of validation and victory. Do you visualize at all, Denise? Have you participated in any type of visualization?
Constantly. Okay. I live in a dream state a lot of the time, and I do that deliberately.
I love that. That's great. That's great. That's a whole other conversation. Now I'm curious about what it is.
It is. Now you have to
go
back.
This dream.
Well, I'm not saying on the radio, but you've got to come back.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. So oftentimes, as wonderful as visualization is, and meaningful and as important as it is, tremendous value, what we miss as personal development experts, what we miss in the way of visualization instruction is the struggle. We leave that piece out as though it's never going to occur or happen. And that if we just simply visualize, if we're motivated enough, if we're engaged enough, if we're passionate enough, we can power through anything. And the fact is that that's not completely true, because what we leave out is the human factor. We're all human. We're human. And there are days, especially with the pressures of life going on and competing priorities, there are days when we're not motivated, we're not engaged, we're not excited. It's going to happen. It's just going to happen. So I'll set a little bit of a backstory and as an example with a marathon runner. And we'll say if you and I were personal development experts and we're coaching a marathon runner to visualization, we would be sharing with that marathon runner the feeling of crossing that finish line and the validation and victory attached to that. So all those months of training, all those miles ran, and now finally crossing the finish line, and the supporters, the family and friends that are there cheering this runner on through that experience, and how wonderful that feels, and how the dieting and all those early mornings out running, all the sacrifices made finally paid off. So that's what we would coach to in the way of visualization, which is, again, has wonderful merit. Absolutely meaningful. But what we don't talk about, the elephant in the room, is what happens when that runner hits mile 13, 18, 22, and is thinking, this is the dumbest idea ever. I want to quit.
That would be me.
I've got to share. That would be me. I'm right there with you. But that happens. That thought process of this was the dumbest decision ever. I cannot believe that I've been training all of these months, that I've made all of these sacrifices, all of these changes, and now I'm at this point where this, I feel terrible, I feel awful, I don't want to do this, I want to quit. Well, the fact of the matter is that there are some people in life that get to that point and they do quit. We don't hear about that oftentimes. We hear about the success stories. But there are people who don't complete, who don't follow through, who don't finish, because that struggle got the best of them. And the concept of just being motivated enough, being passionate enough, being fueled enough, didn't carry them through. Why? Is it because they're a failure, they're just not good enough? No, that's not it. It's because they're human. And they needed a better system. So the exercise that I'll share is really simple, and it has tremendous long-term effect. And that is, we can employ this in our daily lives in the way of each morning, taking just a few moments and identifying what possible struggles we may encounter today. Now that struggle may come in the way of procrastination. It may be, you know, I know I need to get up and get to the gym. And I know I'm going to justify, because as human beings, we're really great at justifying anything. I'm going to sell myself on why I don't have to go today. Maybe I'm going to go later on. Or I'll do it tomorrow. But what if that story happens to be, and I know, just being honest with myself, I'm going to have that conversation. So that struggle is going to come. So the concept being, or the idea being, I'm going to identify an area of struggle or challenge today. It's a point of procrastination. Maybe it's a conversation that's going to give you a bit of anxiety, a conversation with someone else. Identify what that struggle is. Visualize that in your mind's eye, or feel that. Some people are more experiential than visual. Experience that. And immediately following, asking yourself, what are you going to coach yourself to do for best possible outcome? What are you going to coach yourself to? What are you going to say to yourself to push yourself through that moment for best possible outcome on the other side? And then experience, feel that, visualize that best possible outcome on the other side. So taking just a few areas of opportunity, early in the morning, wake up, what are the few areas of struggle that I might encounter today? Not too many, because nobody wants to wake up and think about all the terrible things that may be going on today. That's a downer. But simply identifying just a few things, a few points. What is going to be, what am I going to say to myself to push through? What's the best possible outcome on the other side? Here's the really terrific long-term benefit of this, Denise, and that is this activity or exercise, it begins as a front-of-mind mechanical exercise. And we know that neuroscience shows us that 80% of the results that we're producing in life, truly, are happening on a conscious level. 95% of the results that we're producing in our life happen on a subconscious level. That's quite an unequal scale. So we've got to get to the subconscious mind. Well, this is a great way to do that. In that, identifying these few things each day, moving through this exercise, it moves from a front-of-mind mechanical process to a subconscious action in time, so that that conversation that one may have with themselves each day by going to the gym, it becomes not front of mind, but on a subconscious level it's happening. So we seemingly become more productive, possibly less anxious. We're getting more things done in our lives simply due to a really simple exercise that takes just a few moments each day. The important thing about it also is to continue with the exercise, because like anything, if you stop doing it, the terrific benefits will go away. So it's important to do that on a consistent basis.
You know, every time I have do one of these podcasts, I have an interview, there's always at least one light bulb moment. You know, the big giant Edison light bulb that goes off of your head.
Right, sure.
That was just it. I've never done that. I mean, I truly believe in the power of the subconscious. I mean, when I hit a sticky question or something, I just can't puzzle out of my own mind. And I've been in the habit of doing this since I was a kid. When I go to bed at night, or when I finally put myself to sleep at night, because sleeping is not one of my strengths, the last thing I do is turn over whatever it is that's bugging me or that I cannot, you know, find an answer for.
Yes.
I will deliberately turn that over to my subconscious for review. And I'm telling you, Lee, 3:18 in the morning, there it is. 3:18
yes.
Every single morning. So I totally get that. But I have never... You know, I mean, I think I probably have. I'm actually thinking of a couple instances where I was like, oh, God, I've got to have that phone call. And I would kind of puzzle it out of my mind before the actual phone call.
Right.
But I
right.
have to be honest. It was always me being kind of snarky, because that's who
I
am.
Sure.
I'm the queen of snark.
Right.
And then I was always surprised when the call went well. I'm like, really? I didn't see that happening. It's really, you know, way to go, Denise. But I love that idea of just getting out and kind of, I don't know, walking yourself through what can possibly happen and preparing for it. That's brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant.
When we get proactive about things that are happening in our lives, so this daily list, if you will, this daily routine, coupled with some exercises like the one I've just shared, when we get proactive, and it doesn't have to be, here's the really interesting thing, it's a little bit like saying, well, I'm a Ferrari race car, and I can get it done. Well, the fact of the matter is oftentimes, even as a Ferrari, we're running with some flat tires, or we're low on oil, we're not performing in our best possible selves. When we're relying, especially as entrepreneurs, we're relying upon ourselves to perform at an extremely high level, but right out of the gate, in very foundational, basic ways, we're already compromising ourselves. And oftentimes it goes back to pride and ego. Individuals think they can push through, they can get it done. And many people can, but there's a next level. There's a next level of performance for everyone. And the way to get there, at least in part, is getting proactive with some really simple things in our lives.
Well, I'll tell you, and I'll be in touch with you about this, because I am now going to put that into my daily routine first thing in the morning. And it's going to be interesting. I suspect, Lee, that it's going to be a bit painful starting out.
Well, it's a bit mechanical starting out. It's an interesting exercise, but the fluidity will come. It absolutely will come.
And I'm one of those people, I don't just envision it. I'm walking it, dreaming it, feeling it. So
right.
It's going to be interesting. I will let you know how that works, but I am absolutely going to work that into my morning routine. Now, is this something if they're really having a struggle during the day, is this something they should stop and go, okay, let me go back and revisit that, because clearly I wasn't paying attention to myself this morning.
Absolutely. And that's another great opportunity for us to coach ourselves, for an individual to say, I'm going to take a moment. And part of that is taking our power back and recognizing we have a choice. So taking some time and asking ourselves, this is where we're getting quiet and square with ourselves, what's the best possible outcome? What's the most desired outcome from this particular situation? And the best possible version of me, what would that person do in this particular situation? And sometimes we really have to experience that. What is the best possible version of me in a situation like this in the past? Let me recollect that and bring that forward and then making that decision. Okay, here's how I'm going to engage in this particular situation. And so often it's these really simple exercises that take just seconds. They take just seconds in our lives that really can provide and create exceptional results. And
so
as much as anything, it's taking our power back.
Right. So once you kind of put this into play and you can fall back on that at any point, chances are that you're not going to, in a conversation or in an event or something that's going on that you really don't care for, that you're not particularly happy to be involved in it, chances are you're going to be able to step back and say, okay, I'm not going to knee-jerk my way in or out of this. I'm actually going to be
exactly.
The best me right now. I need that.
Right. Yeah, it's a really great thing to do. And it doesn't have to be a negative situation. It can also be maybe it's an encounter or a meeting where a person really needs to perform at a very high level.
Right.
And taking that opportunity to have that conversation within their own mind. Just taking a step back and moving through that process so that they're representing themselves in their possible way. And oftentimes what happens through this, whether it's a negative or positive interaction, and of course we know these things, but I'll call it out, and that is oftentimes this will open doors to other really terrific experiences that were unexpected or opportunities that were unexpected because we brought our best possible selves forward. And that's something, whether it's the universe doing interesting things, karma, synchronicity, whatever it happens to be, But it's interesting, I think, when that happens, when we bring our best possible selves to the game, how unexpected, really terrific things begin to happen.
I have noticed that. I have noticed that over and over again for myself and for other people. And I think for some reason, it's not something that we take into account during the day. And I think it's something we should be very, very mindful of.
Right. Absolutely.
Listen,
absolutely.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I keep interrupting you.
No, I
was going to say, you're fascinating to speak
with.
No,
that's okay. That's okay. We get out of that routine where there are these things that we can do in a proactive way. We get busy with life and what's happening through the day and pressures and all those things. And we've just got to be thoughtful and be present and intentional about what it is that we want to experience and know that we've got the ability to make choices to better and more effectively impact that.
I think that is wonderful advice. Lee, you're a coach. Where can people find you if they want to work with you or consult with you?
Yeah, the best way, I'll give you my generic email address. That's the best possible way for individuals to reach me, is at Griffith, G-R-I-F-F-I-T-H, 2020, Griffith2020@gmail.com. That's the best way to catch me. You can also reach me on Facebook, Lee Griffith in Phoenix, Arizona. Email typically is best. I'll also include a phone number. I know texting is the latest craze, and I would certainly invite anyone. You want to text? Text me. You want to have a great conversation? I'm happy to have a great conversation with you. That phone number is 480-440-4375.
Oh, great.
And what fun today has been, Denise. I so appreciate the opportunity to have a great conversation with you.
It was amazing, truly. I had that light bulb moment go off. And it's, you know, when you were talking about it, I was like, well, yeah. So why didn't I think of that before? But there it is. I mean, that's the wisdom that you bring to the table.
Yeah, it's so often that can be the case. And whether it's, and from a coaching perspective at least, books, videos, online coursework, all of those things, sometimes what we need in our lives is just another perspective that's personal or personalized, directed towards us. Or sometimes it's accountability attached to the things that we already know, but we need somebody to help push us through to the next level or what have you. So oftentimes, at least from a coaching perspective, it goes back to that knowledge versus applied knowledge and an outside perspective holding you accountable to some of those things that can be so meaningful from a coaching perspective. But we're all human beings, and we all have the opportunity and the ability to level up. We just have to make a plan and get intentional about doing it.
Absolutely. Lee, thank you so much for being with me here today. It has been wonderful chatting with you, and I know our audience enjoyed the takeaways and examples as much as I did.
That's all right.
And truly, I am going to put that into practice. You watch. I'm going to do it.
I love it. Well, if you
go ahead.
Anything I can support in reference to that, I'm please don't hesitate. Anything I can help you with, Denise, count me in.
I will holler. Thank you. Well, listen, everybody. The show will be available for download in about an hour, and you can also find us in iTunes. Just type in our names: Denise Griffiths, G-R-I-F-F-I-T-T-S, and Lee Griffith, G-R-I-F-F-I-T-H. And I will see you next week. Lee, thank you so much.
Thanks, Denise. We'll talk again soon. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, anytime.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.